I hope I don't see loads of adults colouring these in, or I'll get really, really upset. That was down to Grayson. That was excellent, Michael.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Good. Let's read a couple of scriptures, first of all. If we pop up on the screen, Ephesians 3, 14 onwards. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, listen to this, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says like this, blessed or happy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which he has called you. 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I'm thanking God for that verse that says, nothing is impossible to those who believe. I've set myself an impossible task this morning. In 20 minutes, and I want to be faithful to that, to release the creche laborers, I have to touch on the high peaks of the book of Ephesians. As Robert said last week, Ephesians has been known as the Alps of the New Testament. I go further, it's the Himalayas of the New Testament revelation. It is so high, you're going to need strength to take it in. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us understand the richness that's in this book. What a high task. I feel like I'm a tour guide. When people come to Northern Ireland, I love taking them to places because I'm so afraid they will miss the Mourns, or they'll miss the Peace Wall, or they'll miss the Giant's Causeway during their time here. You want them to see the high points. I want you to see the high peaks of what it is to be in Christ in the book of Ephesians. Several years ago, Heather and I took in a young guy to live with us for a period of time. I think he was around 17 years old. He'd been at a children's home. His father murdered his mother and then killed himself. Very disturbed young man. Spent many years in a children's home. Hit the age of 17, had to leave. And it turned out, when he turned 18 or 21, I'm not sure, he was going to get an inheritance. And one of the things we did with this young man, he says, you know, when you turn 18 or 21 and you get this money, what are you going to do with it? And this guy did not have the capacity or the maturity to handle it. He was going to buy 18 guitars. And nothing we could say to him could take him away. And I spoke to a social worker about him. And I said, you know, this young guy is going to come into all this money. How do you advise him? How do you counsel him? And the social worker said this. What we have found is that young people who are in children's homes who leave without coming into an inheritance do better than young people who've been in a children's home all their life and they get an inheritance because they don't have the capacity and the maturity and the strength to handle it. I remember my financial advisor, another one. My financial advisor, who known to some of you, Peter Yar, remember, he said something a bit tongue-in-cheek because I know he would never do the lottery. But he said, I wouldn't do the lottery because if I won it, I wouldn't trust myself how to spend it. And there's sometimes what happens when you come into something and you don't have the capacity or the strength or the maturity to handle it, it can do you more harm than good. And you know, in a funny sort of way, I think Paul is praying for the Ephesians and for the church. And he says, guys, I want you to see something about the love of God that is so overwhelming, you're going to need strength from the Holy Spirit to handle it. Isn't that fantastic? The high peaks in Ephesians are so awesome, so mind-boggling. You're going to need revelation and wisdom and understanding and strength in your inner being to handle it. I remember thinking practically how going to work one day, and I was saying, if Jesus was in my shoes, if Jesus was in my time-space world, he would just love everybody. And I said, Lord, I want to be like Jesus, but to be absolutely honest with you, I'm a little scared. Because if I moved in the love you had for people, I would be overwhelmed. That's the truth. And I say, God, give me strength in my inner man. Give me the Holy Spirit revelation, understanding to walk like you walked. I want that for us as a church. Our God is too small. Our vision is too small. These high peaks in Ephesians are absolutely staggering. Can I share a few of them with us this morning? Peak number one. The book of Ephesians does not start on earth with human beings. It starts in the highest place you can go in the heavenly realms. It starts with God himself. Chapter 1 speaks about God the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all involved making sure we are blessed up to our eyeballs. The Father's involved, the Son is involved, and the Holy Spirit's involved. God is up to something in eternity. It's very good, it's very high, it's very wise. It cost him. Someone said like this, to create the world, all God had to do was say, let there be light. But to redeem us and bring us into Christ, he had to shed blood. It cost him. This is no small matter. We are incredibly loved. We are incredibly supplied. We are incredibly blessed because it's by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in absolute unity and communion. It's mysterious and it's mystical and it's very high. Oh God, who is sufficient for these things? In the heavenly realm, in the heavenly places, and we read that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When you get really, really high, the view is different. Isn't that true? Have you ever climbed Donard and looked down? Have you ever climbed an Alp and looked down? Have you ever climbed Mount Everest and looked down? Negative things become very small. People look small. Circumstances look small. Cars look small. Skyscrapers look small. Other mountains look small when you get high enough. And from God's view, God's perspective, and we're seated with him in Christ, all the negative things get a different perspective. Ephesians 1:21 says that Christ is raised far above all other power, principalities, and rulers, not only in this age, but the age to come. And the scripture says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I can't take that, Lord. The implications of that are so wonderful. That's why Paul says, I'm begging the Father to give you a spirit of insight, revelation, understanding, that you could grasp these things and then you could live a quality of life worthy of it. And you could stand against the enemy with a strength, not of yourself. Christianity is not a hobby. The triune God has planned something wonderful for us. Let's not live below it. Let's not believe below it. It's absolutely staggering. And not only do the negative things get perspective, that mountain that's a problem, that fear that's like a mountain, that situation that's like a mountain, it's awful small looking if you go high enough. Come up higher. Have a seat. Have a seat. And look down in Christ. All the positive things, you get a wonderful view at the top. there are some views that you've got to climb a mountain to appreciate it. They really are. I mean, Newcastle looks okay when you drive in. But you see, when you look at Newcastle from the top of sleeve, whatever, it looks incredible. There's a walk in County Fermanagh called Stairway to Heaven. And the views are immaculate, but you have to walk up the stairway. And when we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms, when the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation and insight, when our eyes are opened, we suddenly see Christ is more wonderful than I ever thought possible. Ephesians 1, 21, 22, Christ is far above all power and principality. Not only do we see Christ, we see that what it means to be in Christ. And if you can see this in the reality and the fullness of what it means, in Christ we are incredibly blessed. We are incredibly blessed. We're chosen. We're adopted. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have an inheritance. We have a calling to be holy without blame in God's sight. We're redeemed. We're absolutely forgiven. All of these blessings are ours in Christ. If you ask me how I feel, I almost feel like saying it's irrelevant in some ways. Because the reality is, I am really, really blessed. But I say, Lord, show us that. We need to feel it, believe it, hear it, sense it, smell it. Live like it's true. And there's almost a frustration in the apostle when he says, I'm praying that your eyes will be opened, that your heart would be enlightened. When you go high, the view is fantastic. We need to see the church the way God sees the church. How does God see the church? Now, I'm on dangerous ground here, what I'm about to say. But is it just me? Is it just a man thing? But do all newborn babies look kind of the same? You try telling that to the mother that's just given birth. Try telling that to the father. Try telling that to the grandparent. Because in their eyes, that's the most beautiful, most incredible person that's ever been born. Do you think when God looks at his children, he feels any less passionate, delighted, happy about his children? Do we think we're a better parent than God? God delights in his people. Have you ever been in love, as I am currently? And you're engaged to be married, and your fiancé or your fiancé is the most beautiful person, the most wonderful person in the world. Yes, you're totally prejudiced. You're totally biased. You're totally, your perspective is completely taken up by what you see. When God looks at the church, he is furiously, passionately in love with the church. How dare I think lowly of other Christians? How dare I think lowly of local church? How dare I think that I can love my wife more than God loves his people? Oh, that the eyes of our heart would be opened, the eyes by the Holy Spirit to see how precious, to see God's view, to see the end. God who knows the end from the beginning. When you get high enough, you get a different perspective. And the last one on that note is about the love of Christ. We read it, and Paul says like this, the love of Christ is four-dimensional. That should make Andrew happy because he's a physicist. But the love of Christ is four-dimensional. It's high, it's deep, it's wide, and it's long. It is absolutely incredible. The love of Christ is so broad, it takes in every people group. It is so deep, It is so wide. It is so long. It stretches from eternity into eternity. And what that makes me feel, Lord, is if only we really could see it, feel it, sense it, and enjoy it, we could walk worthy of God. You will express the God you believe in. You will express the God you know, the God you've experienced, the God that you truly believe in. And what is absolutely clear is that there is something about the length, breadth, depth, and length of the love of Christ that Paul says you're going to need revelation, you're going to need strength together with all the saints to realize it and to know it. And that's why in chapter 4 he says, walk worthy. You know, I get very nervous when people jump to chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians and immediately start emphasizing the practical outworking of it. Because unless you've seen what is revealed in the first three chapters, we will not fully understand the practical outworkings. I don't know if you've observed a baby, but before they walk, they learn how to sit. Brothers and sisters, take a seat. Where? In Christ, in the heavenly realm. Take a seat with who? With Christ. It's absolutely staggering. The book of Ephesians, it tells us where we used to sit, where we used to live, where we used to walk, but now everything has changed. At one time, you were dead. At one time, you were objects, children of wrath. At one time, you were without God. You were without hope. You were outside of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once far off have been brought near. But now, because God is rich in mercy, but now. You know, in the Bible, we words make all the difference. I had a friend who used to, this is a negative example of how a wee word can suddenly change a whole sentence. And he used to pay you a compliment and then just stick a wee word on the end of it, which totally changed it. And he would say, Vera, you're looking awfully well today, considering. I really like you, Robin, considering. God is good, considering. We are blessed, considering. But turn it around positively. There's something very positive about the word but. Thank God for God's buts. But now in Christ, you're a new creation. But now in Christ, the past is past at last. But now in Christ, you're seated somewhere else. You're called to something greater, something more wonderful. And not only the word but is a small word that changes everything, the word now changes everything. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, but now you who were far off have been brought near. The word now. But now, see, some people would say, oh, I decided to follow God 30 years ago, but now I'm still following God. I experienced the forgiveness of sins 10 years ago. I'm living in the forgiveness of sins now, today. There's something significant about now, and as I said last week, about the moment. But now, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we heard about that last week. And so everything has shifted. Everything has changed. Have a seat. Get this. I'm almost finished now. Get this understanding. And I like what Andrew Womack said. You will live more wholly accidentally than you ever could on purpose. you'll live more holy accidentally than you ever could on purpose. If you can get the fact that this incredible love is for us, you will love others with a depth and a breadth and a length and a height that's beyond the natural. Lord, my love is so narrow. I only love West Ham United supporters. What I've discovered, the love of God is He loves all supporters. I'm leaving that hanging because you can fill in your gap. Where is your love narrow? Where is your love short, superficial, not broad, not deep? Some people are afraid to speak about the love of God because lest it takes away from God's majesty and God's sovereignty. No, listen, the most powerful, wonderful thing about God is He loves with a God kind of love. Revealed while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't settle, this is my final statement, don't settle for average. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for anything less than the high peaks of what God has given us in Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. I think I made it. Excellent. I just wrote, before I asked Paul to come up, I wrote pause in my notes, and I just asked the question, is there anybody who's got just a wee brief word on the back of that for the congregation? Maybe more, I guess.